here talking with Officer Paul Benton. We are in an undisclosed location, and I have the honor and the privilege to be with him. He's let me ride along with him to check out what it's like to be an officer and what the duties that entail in being an officer. And I think we're going to have a good time. We're going to ask him some questions here, and he's going to give me some good straight answers. So for your enjoyment and for your knowledge and for your listening pleasure, we're going to continue. Paul, how you doing?
Good.
I appreciate you letting me come out here to ride along with you and check things out. And first of all, how long have you been an officer?
15 years.
Same department? So you've
been through a couple different agencies.
And what is it about being an officer that you like?
Oh, the structure of what we do. Prior military, so it kind of hand in hand with that. I do enjoy helping people. I enjoy getting out and meeting new people. And it's never the same thing every day.
Not bored, that's right. You know, it's funny that you say that. Certain part of what you just said here. I've been dealing with guns all my life. And if I don't have a gun near me, on me, or around me, I feel naked. It's kind of the same thing, I'm assuming, if you're military, because I know I wanted to become an officer before. But when you're in the military, you're doing that type of work, especially if you're a combat soldier of some sort, or a Marine or whatever, this is kind of a second nature. It's like if you're not doing this type of work, it's almost like you're stuck doing another type of work.
Yeah.
What is the hardest thing about your job?
dealing with the political aspect of it. Laws change quite regularly, and just relearning to change laws, dealing with what we call frequent flyers, the same people, the same thing all the time. That's probably the biggest part that I don't like about it.
Yeah, that brings up a question, the repeat individuals. Here you've got an individual who maybe doesn't do anything wrong, is always trying to do their best, be a law-abiding citizen, and yet they screw up one time and it seems like they go through the ringer. But then when you get the repeat offenders, they keep coming back out doing the same thing. It just doesn't seem right. Well, what is the deal behind that? Any idea?
That's both me. I do know what you mean. If I caught Joe Schmuck out here drinking and driving, and I caught Model A citizen out here drinking and driving, I'm going to charge them with the same thing. And everything will be the same from my point. It's when they get up into the prosecution part of it, that it changes, I would assume.
Are there some laws that you don't like, but because you are wearing the badge and you swore an oath, you're going to do them anyway? But are there some things that just kind of grind on you? It's like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but I have to?
Yeah, there are. There's certain laws. It's like, why on earth are those even laws? So
when the person gets stopped because of that law, it's not so much you. It's like if you got a problem, you've got to go and go through the political system to get the law changed. You're just a guy on the beat doing his duty, swearing an oath, and wearing the badge of honor, right?
I try.
Great. Can you tell us a story? What's maybe some of the things that you're looking for when you're on the road? Anything in particular that you're looking for?
Like right now, I'm watching for speeders, looking for equipment violations, lights out, that sort of thing.
Do you use that type of problem as a doorway to see if there's something major, or is it just, I'll just say, is that because we're looking to not be bored one night, or to get revenue, or is it just a gateway to get you in to see, hey, I might be able to find something really serious here?
Probably a combination of all. If you get tired, you pull somebody over for a busted taillight, helps you wake up. And it does give you that opportunity to speak with them and see if there's something else going on within that vehicle. I don't make it a habit to write citations for equipment violations. I don't get out and check the back of my truck every time I get into it and turn it on. It's just more of a courtesy stop, as well as
11:15.
Seeing if there's anything more. Right.
Are you 10-6?
Running traffic.
All right, everybody. We're back again. It's later on in the morning now. We been sitting out here, done a couple of traffic stops. We had to shut the recording device off earlier due to the fact we had traffic going over the radio. We wanted to cut it off. So we waited a while. We're back here now. And finally, we've done. I'm back here with Officer Paul Benton in an undisclosed location in the state of Texas. And he's doing his duty and keeping us safe the best he can. But, Paul, we've done a couple of traffic stops. We checked a group of people out. And I'm very security conscious myself, very aware of my surroundings. And as I'm watching you, we're coming up to a scenario and these situations. I see potential dangers all over the place, you know, especially at nighttime, multiple people in the vehicle. You're on a dark side of the road, not much traffic, something can go down. If you're by yourself, what do you do? What's going through your mind when you do these traffic stops?
Well, welcome to my world. Yeah, walking up to a car, you never know what is inside that car. It's dark out. Can't see inside the vehicle very well. You're making your approach. You're checking the back seat. You're checking the front seat. Is the driver acting stupid? Has he got passengers? Are they being...
Well, I think a lot more people are getting licensed to carry, CHLs, licensed to carry, and more people are realizing that. And here's another thing. Here's what I'm thinking. I could be totally wrong. Won't be the first time. But there has been a wild division between law enforcement and the civilian populace for a block of time. I'd have to say it grew within the last 10 years. And it's wearing people out. And you've got bad people in each section. You've got bad cops sometimes. You've got bad civilians sometimes. And the media just blows it up, makes it bad. And then everybody starts getting this paranoia. And so they started getting like, well, why are these people hassling? Why is an officer hassling me? Well, you got to think about it. You got to say, this cop on the beat, on the middle of a highway, out in the middle of nowhere, at 3 o'clock in the morning, is by himself, and he's got to have some type of protocol to protect himself. And the person behind the wheel should have the common sense to realize, you know, if that was me wearing the badge and I was coming up to this car, I'd want the same courtesy. I think it's all about courtesy, and hopefully people are realizing that courtesy needs to come back so that we can all start being and working together. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll tell you this, in the last 6 months, I've had more people tell me they appreciate me and what I do than I did in the prior 14 years of my law enforcement career. Since all this cop killing, all these riots, and we've had police officers that were ambushed, and it makes me feel good because I get on a traffic stop. And when the traffic stop is done, I'm having people say, sir, we appreciate what you do. Please be safe tonight. And that's even if I write them a ticket. And, you know, it feels good to be appreciated.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. You know, I was just thinking while you were talking, I was listening to you, but I was also thinking about what I just said, why I say what I say. You know, because I do what I do with this radio show, and just because I am an informed individual and I'm always doing my homework and I'm researching, I see things from all across the planet, all across the country, all across the state, and all locally. And it's like it's an information overload to me. So I get to see what's going on, whereas somebody else may disagree because they're in their own little world and they not do the research that I do, and they don't get to see that. But there is definitely a separation or a barrier, and we just need to turn that around. We definitely need to eliminate that because you guys do a very good job. You're putting your lives on the line every day to do your best to secure us. And I tell a lot of officers, hey, you know my number, and if I'm available, give me a call. I'll back you up. So it's good to have you on the studio. We appreciate that. And which brings up another question. What are your thoughts about ride-alongs? And I'm not just talking ride-alongs just for giggles. I'm talking ride-alongs for people out there who are very informed and are very concerned and are wanting to help. They may not wear a badge, but they can at least be your second set of eyes here. Can you get like a volunteer force that can come and alternate day to day to be a ride-along? Is that a good thing?
They probably could. I think there's several agencies that do what they call a Citizens Police Academy. I believe that entitles people that go through that academy to ride with the officers. I'm not sure. We have a reserve force where people actually give their time and come in and do this for free.
They're actually officers.
Yes,
right?
Yes, they do it. Yes, they are reserve police officers. I tell people all the time, you know, they ask, what's it like to do your job? Well, come right out with me and find out. And
can that be a detriment to you at any time?
No. No, not really. I don't do anything that would get myself in trouble.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about the ride-along. Could it be a hindrance? Could it be another thing to worry about?
Well, it puts a second person. It makes me responsible for a second person.
That's what I was getting at.
I've got to worry not only for my safety, but now there's an unarmed individual in my patrol unit, and, you know, if somebody starts shooting at me, now I've got to be concerned about getting that other person out of the way and out of harm's way.
So then let's go back to my initial question. Do you probably think more that it's not maybe a good idea to have unlicensed people who are riding along with you, a reserve person, as compared to just a regular Joe on the street, because of that reason? That makes sense?
Yes, it could be a problem. Like I said, I've been an officer for 15 years. I've never had to fire my weapon. I've seen where somebody with a rider has gotten to that point. I'm not saying it won't happen, by no means. As many shirts as something like
happen,
that.
It happened.
So, I enjoy having a second person in the vehicle sometimes, especially somebody that is not in law enforcement. It kind of opens their eyes a little bit. I really enjoy when the younger crowd comes and rides out with me. Not saying you're old or anything, Matt.
Yeah, well, you said it plenty of other times, but you're not saying.
But, you know, there was a while where there's a boy who just graduated high school, and he was thinking about becoming an officer. And he rode out with me several times. And he's now a dispatcher. And his intent, when he turns 21, he's become a police officer. There was a young man that rode out with me years ago who became a police officer. So it's kind of like, you know, am I doing something that would impress somebody to the point they want to do what I do? And a couple of times it would appear that it has worked.
Well, that's great, because I've always commented and complimented you on how common sense you are in your decisions. I mean, you're here doing your duty under oath, but you've got common sense. And I try to teach that in my class all the time. You know, there's got to be common sense from us, and there's got to be common sense from the officer as well. And together, we're going to get along no problems.
Right.
And you'll see a situation, and it's like what you said about the traffic, the taillight. You don't always check the back of your taillight. You're calling for your broken taillights. So when you come up to a vehicle that has a broken taillight, you might find, just may not have seen it or something. So we'll warn them, we'll play it by ear, see what happens. But I'm not going to go up and say, I'm going to bust you and write you a ticket. So you got common sense. I've known you for a while. I've seen it repetitively, that you have good common sense and good judgment. And hopefully you can relay that to some new people who join the force, and you should be proud that you can convey that to somebody else. Now, Paul, is there any little inside things that people on the outside don't know that would be kind of interesting or fun to know, and you could, you're willing to share it with the people?
Like what?
Well, how about this? How about coding? When you're coded on the street, if you're on the side of the road, is there something we could look for or see if you need help besides screaming and waving your hands?
Well, that's usually a real good indicator. We do things amongst ourselves. I'm not going to exactly tell you what it is, because a lot of the times we don't want everybody to know.
Yeah, definitely don't do that, though. Sure.
But we do have some ways of acknowledging, and we usually do it when we know there's another patrol unit coming towards us, or we've actually seen it, and we'll give the sign of what code we're in. You know, if we get one sign, then they'll either pass on by or stop out, like they're just checking to see what's going on. If we give another one, then they're probably going to slam on their brakes and bail out of the vehicle and come running.
Well, anyway, let's get off the officer there. Let's talk more about person driving by and he thinks that you're in distress, I'm assuming you would like the backup from anybody at that point. But if somebody's coming up and you don't know who they are, what would be a good thing for them to do to put you at ease to know that they're on your side?
Just start hollering out, officer, do you need help? Officer, I'm here. What do you need? What do you need?
What if they're a licensed to carry person? Do they come out with their handgun? Do they start screaming, hey, I'm an LTC? That'd probably freak you out, seeing another gun coming down the street, right?
Yeah, if I looked up and there's somebody else coming at me with a gun and I'm in the middle of a firefight, I'm probably going to start shooting at them as well. I would holler out something. I've thought that scenario over. What if I was shot and I was down and, not unconscious, but down, and all of a sudden somebody pulls over and they come out with another gun. You know, it's kind of like, well, crap. But, you know, if they come out and they're yelling at whoever shot me, saying, get away from the officer, get away from the officer, you know, something to that effect, it's going to give me a second of hesitation to figure out what's going on. And there's just